second guess. They didn't set limits. Are you a follower or a visionary? Can you handle the load that you were meant to carry? Cause we're on a mission. Listen, it's beyond description. We don't want to fit in if we're living in a contradiction. We need a brand of passion that you can't imagine. Don't hesitate. Rub the lamp, lad. Welcome to Leaders and Managers Hub, the podcast. I'm Ray, and today with us we have Gary and Lisa.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello. And it was Gary's birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to Gary.
Thanks, mate.
He had cake without us. Another downfall of you know, lockdown. We don't get to share cake.
Yeah. Wasn't a downfall for me.
It was... No, I'm sure it wasn't. Is there going to be some tomorrow sort of appear in the workshop, maybe?
Wow.
I'm asking for a friend.
You're asking for a friend.
So there's ice cream.
Ooh, yeah, there's freezer full of ice cream.
I bought two tubs of Ben and Jerry's the other day, and there's one left. I'm going to enjoy it this evening. I think I've deserved it. So in terms of what we want to talk about today, so I wanted to share with you, and this is kind of COVID related. I wanted to share with you an anecdote that I'd received from a friend of mine about an experience she'd had with her employer. And then I wanted to share with you a correspondence that we received during the week and just get your opinions on it and a bit of advice. So the anecdote is my friend was working for a construction company in London. And since lockdown, they had been working from home. She had been working from home. But inexplicably, for some reason, one day a week, they had insisted that she travel to central London to be at the site office. And this was always a bit weird because, you know, there was nothing specifically about her role that meant that she had to be on the site, in the site office. And if she was able to work effectively 4 days a week from home, why she couldn't also work the fifth? Anyway, when things started to get relaxed a little bit, her employer contacted her and said, right, you know, we're going to start bringing people back into the office. Worth noting that in the office, they paid very, very scant regard to any social distancing all the way through the whole process. She had explained to them that for personal health and well-being reasons and consideration of others, she wanted to follow the government guidance, which was if you can work from home, you should. And therefore, she didn't feel comfortable with coming back into the office. And the statement that was made to her by her line manager was, along the lines of, okay, that's entirely your choice. If you're choosing to be left behind, then that's your decision. And that's interesting. I'll just let that sit with you for a second while I then move on to the correspondence that I received during the week. And I'm not going to name this person for obvious reasons, which will become apparent when you hear her story. So this lady sent us an email to podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com. And she explained that since lockdown, she had been working from home quite successfully. All of her colleagues had. She didn't actually explain what the nature of her job was, but by implication, I understood that it was a sort of like an office-based job, and therefore she was perfectly well able to perform her role working from home. But she said that in the recent week or two, because of the relaxation of some of the rules, her employer had started to allow people to come back into the office. Now, at no point were they insisting that anybody do, but they were saying to people, look, if you want to come back into the office and start working from the office, we've made the office COVID secure, and you can do that. You need to arrange that with your line manager. But for two specific reasons, she hadn't been able to do that. Number one, was the lack of available childcare because she's not
key worker.
Thank you, Lisa. she wasn't automatically entitled to the limited spaces that are available at preschool and primary school. And because of the ad hoc nature of that attendance at school, it was going to be difficult for her to spend a whole day at work. But also because of the limited spaces in the office, she had been advised that there wouldn't be enough space effectively for her to come back. Now, at no point did she indicate that there was any problems in terms of her ability to work, her relationship with her line manager or her employer, or, anything like that. Everything was hunky-dory working from home. But what she said was that she felt that, so there had been a couple of instances in the last fortnight where little mini projects had come up that had, she felt she was ideally suited to lead. But colleagues who had actually come back to the office, they seemed to get first dibs on those projects. And it's started to cause her to wonder if by still working from home, she's going to be in some way disadvantaged in terms of her career, because she's not physically present to sort of be front and center in front of the boss, that inadvertently she feels that she may get passed over for things, and that in the longer term, this might hurt her career. And she was kind of asking, what do we think that she should do? Now, again, I want to point out that the decision to... she doesn't believe that the decision to pass her over for these projects was like a conscious decision. It's just that these projects came up, people were there, and they're like, right, okay, you take that on. And because she wasn't there, she didn't get included in that decision-making process. So I'm very interested to hear from you guys what you make of that, and what you think she could do in terms of maybe having a conversation with her boss or whatever, or whether you think this is actually a real thing, and do people need to be conscious about it, and what do we need to put in place to make sure that it doesn't become an issue?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to see and hear of this more and more. Like, even in my immediate friendship group, throughout this, all of their situations have been totally different, and all of their employers have dealt with it in such different ways. And I think with a lot of it, all this sort of advice and stuff has gone out from government, and then it's taken a good 24 hours for a lot of people to catch up, to try and work out what the exact guidance is, or to get any guidance on how to work stuff. But the getting people back to work, from what I can tell, there's been lots that's gone out on how to get people back safely, and about completing risk assessments and the spacing and all the rest of it. But I haven't really seen anything from anyone about situations like this, where what can you do about your actual workforce, and how do you keep them engaged, and how do you keep teams engaged with each other that might now become split? Because I know I've got friends that have had probably online meetings twice a day whilst they've been working at home with their sort of the teams that they normally work with, and they were partly set up to keep everyone talking and to catch up twice a day on what was going on and what's happening. And now that some of them are going back to offices, those meetings seem to have stopped. So that automatically makes a divide between those that are perhaps working at home and those that are back in the office. So I think there's a lot that companies need to learn. And whether that's going to be possible, I don't know. But I think the companies and business owners, those the leaders and that within those businesses, have got an awful lot of work to do on top of trying to get businesses back up and running, because they're in a situation that they've never been in before. And I think you'll get some that are quite used to having staff remote working and it's all okay, but you're going to have others that this is the first time they've ever been in this situation, and they're going to struggle with knowing how to do all that. So I think anyone that works in the industry of being able to help people work it out as they go are going to be doing really well in the next few months. But from her personally, I think she just needs to say it. And that's where I worry for a lot of people I know. If they're not very confident in not standing up for themselves, that's probably not the right word, but if they're not
assertive.
Yeah, it's about being assertive. And actually, it is about sticking up for themselves. And if they feel that they're in a situation where they do feel like they're being left out, and that they are missing out, they just need to say it. And I think managers and stuff have got to appreciate this time that they're going to be having those conversations with their staff. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if managers aren't in a position, they're not necessarily going to know that that's how people are feeling. So it's got to take staff to speak up and say, this is how it's making me feel. I am still here. I am still working. It's and just ask those questions. And actually, the more people do that, then the more managers and things are going to realise how things are being affected, and then they can find a way and work to fix that. But yeah, I've got lots of friends in different situations at the moment, and it's working very differently depending on what sector you're in or what the setup is.
Gary?
Yeah, obviously, without knowing all the ins and outs of this particular case, it's difficult to give, you know, absolute clear, firm advice. So, you know, is it something where it's just something that's a sort of accidental, or it's just a, you know, subconscious thing? It's not a deliberate thing. You know, because one of the thoughts that flashed into my head was, you know, are the other people getting the sort of lead roles on these mini projects? Are they male? So is there a, you know, is there a sexism thing where, you know, so I don't know if that's a possibility. Just as some women have found that when they go off on maternity, that, you know, when they come back, they're not treated the same, or sometimes that's used as a reason to push them out of the company.
Yeah, can I just say, just to clarify that a little bit, because there was a little bit of backwards and forwards communication. So she didn't believe that this was a gender thing in this situation, that it was just simply that these little projects had come up, and the boss sort of like looked around and like, okay, I've got two people there that can do it, so they can do it, without actually sitting down and thinking, right, I've also got these other people who are working from home. I need to look at the team as a whole and select the best candidate. They kind of like, oh, you're there, you can do it, you'll do, sort of thing.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. So I think probably similar to Lisa, in that it is something that you know, I think sort of needs to be raised with, you know, the line manager. And I think it's about, you know, talking generally about, you know, how do you feel the remote working is working with me? You know, am I, you know, you're happy with my performance, that it's, you know, the same as if I'm in the office? And then saying, look, there've been a couple of these projects coming up, you know, which I thought I would be ideal for because of reasons X, Y, and Z. I didn't get them. You know, I just want to, you know, remind you that I'm on here, and I can't, even though I'm not necessarily in the office, you know, I can still do that job. So, you know, bear that in mind for, you know, the next one, as it were. So I think it is important, because the person making those decisions might not know. They might just think that they're doing, you know, the best, or it's just easier, you know, whether that's, again, a subconscious thing to say, look, here's the people I can see. I know that person can do the job. So it's just easier to say to someone in the same room or office, hey, can you take the lead on this, rather than having to, you know, jump onto a Zoom or a phone call with someone and say, I'd like you to lead. So I don't know, but I think that's something that definitely you know, businesses need to be aware of, because if you're wanting, you know, successful projects, and if you're wanting your teams to work well, you really need to be making sort of, you know, decisions based on, you know, who is the best person to lead this particular one, on, you know, on the, you know, the neutral aspects of it. It's who would be the best person to do this? Obviously personality and character is part of that, and how people do things. So there may be some projects which are more suited to a certain style or approach, and that's fine. But yeah, really, really, you know, sort of bear in mind, it's not just the people in that you can see in front of you. As if they're working remotely, they're still very much part of your organisation, and you need them to be on your side. Because if you do have this where people start feeling, you know, I'm being penalised for taking government advice, and you know, I'm still performing at the same level, if not better, working from home, working remotely, then they may then start to think, you know, is this a company that long term I want to be with?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you get on well with someone as well, I'd be tempted. Like, if you know, if your relationship's quite good with your line manager or whatever, I've got bosses I could have quite happily written to and just said, almost on a totally different angle of it, but like, oh, it's really good to see this project up and running. Yeah, I would have been really interested to get involved. And if any support's needed, don't forget I'm here kind of email, which kind of reminds them that you're there, but almost in a bit of a jokey way, but suddenly reminds them that it's like, oh yeah, I could have considered so-and-so. Do you know what I mean? But also lets them know that you're still interested to get involved and that you feel you could have led on that project and things. And it just kind of gives them a polite nudge without having to be too serious. But I don't think it's about, yeah, just sort of, and I think for a lot of people, it's going to come up. So I think there's going to be a lot that need to just sort of start putting themselves forward a little bit more because they're not perhaps back in the office. And that's not a bad thing.
Is this something that we're going to need to start to really be aware of and consider, that like it was kind of okay all the time, everybody was working from home, but you know, now that we've maybe got some people in the office and some people working from home, or like they're doing like split time or whatever, you know, our leaders and managers gonna need to do more to create or maintain the team cohesion so that people don't feel isolated? Like, for example, you said, Lisa, about, you know, the Teams calls that were sort of twice a day to sort of keep that team ethos together, and they're not happening now because certain people are back in the office. And we all know what it's like in the office. You know, you have the ad hoc conversations and that sort of thing. You know, is it something that we need to be mindful of? And should it be, like, do companies need to be careful that people don't feel an additional isolation and maybe even a pressure to return to the office, even though actually they're anxious? Are people going to end up conflicted by this?
Yeah, I mean, my experience so far is with everyone I know, whether it's been people that have come back to the workshop or the discussions I've had with tenants that don't know about coming back for all sorts of reasons, those that are in but need to get their staff back, all the reactions are really mixed. I mean, I've got lots that have continued on throughout everything, so it's not feeling much different to them other than the world around them suddenly getting busier, but their actual work day and how they work hasn't changed very much at all. I've got some that are, they've got quite used to working at home and they've made it work, and the anxiety of being back with people is a really big thing for them. So I've had quite a few this week asking lots of questions about what's been put in place at the workshop and what we're doing, and they're all quite happy with the answers, but you can still tell they're a little bit like, do I want to let myself back into that environment yet? I've got others that have been desperate to get back to a work environment and be around people and things, and it is working. But I think within the companies that I've seen, one example, they've got three members of staff back, and they are still continuing to have their team meetings twice a day. So they've now got three in the office that join in, and then the rest of them are at home. So they've kept that up regardless. I've got others that are still doing quite a lot of meetings via Zoom, and they don't see that changing for any time at the moment. But I mean, Gary, I know, so even with our, like, involvement within TEDx Folkestone, all of our meetings during this have been online, and we've now do a social outside every fortnight to bring people together that want to, because some people were really missing being in person. So, and even the online stuff, we're changing up slightly how the meetings are run to make it easier for people. I don't think it matters what you're working in. Everyone's getting used to those new ways of working. But I do wonder with teams ongoing, I've got friends that I think if they have a whole team in or out, it's a bit different. It's when you've got people that have been used to working together that are suddenly split. And I think that's where it's really difficult. And I don't think it will change for some time, especially like this situation where there's childcare issues. If you can't sort the childcare, then you really are stuck. There's a lot of work environments that you can't take children into, so that's not an option even for a little while. And that's going to be a big thing. And I think at the moment, although they sort of think kids will be back in September, there's been nothing definite about that at all. So although people are planning for September, I think they're also still hesitant that they might not have their kids going back in September full time. And then they sort of wonder how long that's going to go on for. And that's going to have massive implications on people and workforces and everything.
Mm.
I think sounds a bit harsh, but I think, yeah, people have just got to keep talking. And whether that's within their teams or to their line managers, and yeah, there's got to be others feeling the same. So I think it's a case of people have just sort of got to be assertive and make their point and let people know. Because I don't think, you might have a line manager that's been working at home for 3 months and they've really enjoyed it as well. Like they've enjoyed being out of the office and they've got sorted at home and they're now suddenly expected back into the office. Equally, you've got people that have hated it. Everyone's going to be different, but yet you're all now trying to aim for the same things again. And I think it's just about talking, and I think employers have just got to find the ways to be flexible for people.
It's interesting that Gary, you used the word aware, and I do agree that actually awareness is probably a big thing here. So my day-to-day experience prior to COVID-19 was that I was working with a team that were remote from each other anyway. So we had some people based in Coventry, we had some people based in Essex, we had some people based further up north. So we were kind of used to having that sort of split team anyway. And so we already had behaviors that kind of worked with that. What I would say to this lady particularly, specifically, is you need to have a conversation with your line manager, because there's no suggestion here that, you know, this passing over for these roles was in any way deliberate or targeted or anything like that. So it may just be that the line manager just at the time wasn't aware that, you know, it was sort of in the moment, I need to pick some people. Oh, you guys are there, right, you do it. But I think that there's two questions I would ask around it. It goes back to previous casts that we did. Were the line managers not holding regular one-to-ones with their people, especially during remote working times? Is there not a culture of being able to, you know, to seek and give feedback and that regular communication in the team? And I would say that if a line manager does find themselves in this situation where they've got a split team, they need to be even more aware and sensitive to the fact that they may have people in their team who maybe start to actually really feel some isolation, because they will feel subconsciously that in some way they're missing out or being passed over from the day to day. And therefore, I would say that line managers need to double down on their efforts to make sure that there is team inclusion and that information is shared equally and equitably through the team. And to maybe even put a bit more effort into doing, stepping up the one-to-ones with those people who are remote, or maybe even looking at, like, if you know, if you're having a regular dialogue with your people and your relationship is such that you're able to discuss with them their particular circumstances, which it should be, then you may be able to have a conversation with this lady and say, look, if you have, say, one day a week where you have got childcare, I will make a space available for you in the office if you want to come in. Even if that means I need to tell one of the other people who's in 5 days a week that actually they, you know, they need to only do 4 days a week in the office, to actually give you that space in the office. And I would then also then on top of that say to this lady, if your employer, if you don't feel that you could have that sort of engagement with your line manager or your employer, or you couldn't have that conversation, then I would say at the first opportunity you need to be considering that this employer isn't for you. Drop the mic. But that's the truth, you know. We all need to work together on this in the best way that we can. I would like to think that most line managers would be open to having such a conversation, because it's probably just a thing of, you know, we're all flying by the seat of our pants here. And so we've got so much in our heads to consider just in sort of the day-to-day moving about. You know, am I physically distanced from that person? Have I washed my hands? You know, do I want to touch that surface? Whatever. We've got so much conscious thought going on in our heads just to survive the day-to-day that it's easy to understand why it would just slip a line manager's mind not to consider the whole team at every minute of every day. But, you know, if our intention is to be effective line managers, we'll get better at that too. But it's also important for our teams to feed back to us to say if they're feeling isolated or left out or whatever, because it might just be that we just need to reassure people that, you know, absolutely you're not. This was the decision-making process in that respect, and I've got your name on my whiteboard here, that the next up project that comes up, it's yours. I think, like you said, Lisa, I think communication and dialogue is absolutely the key here.
Yeah, and I think especially with those that are away from the office still, even more important. Like, even if it's just people setting up like regular check-ins every few days, because they're going to have that interaction with the staff that are back in the office and they're not going to have that. So they're going to have to make effort, and I think that's big changes for a lot of people. They're not used to that, but yeah, it's a big thing. I mean, even for me, I don't have employees as such, but a lot of the tenants, especially ones that aren't back yet, I'm still in regular contact with at the moment most weeks, to catching up on what they're doing. And yeah, they'll then often ring to see how things are and how busy things have got. So, yeah, I think any environment's like that at the moment.
Well, I think you're in a unique position to observe, because you see how different organizations handle their people, and yes, you're able to sort of see it from a distance, albeit you are inextricably involved in it because you are partly responsible for creating the COVID secure environment. But you can see the contrast between the way different organizations go about their people.
Yeah, and it has been different. I think some are doing really well, and weirdly again, some of them just didn't get it. Like, it didn't matter how much stuff I sent out with all the advice on, they hadn't really thought it through, or they hadn't quite grasped what it meant to them within their own offices. So yeah, there's been a lot of talking this month trying to help people to get their places sorted, and it's all part of my job. But yeah, they sort of, some of it, they think, oh, we really got to do that. And it's like, well, yeah, you haven't got room for all your staff, so you need to rearrange things, or yeah, and for some of them they've had to consider, okay, do we need everybody back or can we stagger it? Yeah, it's meant quite big changes, but and others, yeah, they've sort of made it really easy, haven't got staff quite back yet off furlough, so that's made it a little bit easier because they're back in sorting out the business and getting the business back up and running properly, and starting to generate the work so that they can get the staff back sort of July onwards. And weirdly, I think quite a lot of them are feeling more comfortable about having staff back in the next couple of weeks. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how July goes compared to June, but June's flown by, so I'm not quite sure where the time's gone in the last month.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different topic. Where is the time gone? Gary, just I'm interested from your perspective. So you've recently, after many, many years of sort of working entirely remotely and often just with yourself, and you've explained on the cast before how that's quite important to you. You've recently started to use a co-working space. How have you found that change?
Yes, I mean, for me, it was something I felt I needed to do just to be able to focus and concentrate on my work because of other things going on in life. And I've been doing it for about four weeks now, and it's been really, really positive. Obviously, the space is not as full as it normally would be. So there are times when I am still, you know, the only person in the office on that particular floor. But even with other people being about, that's quite good because you can have a little bit of a chat with people and then get on with your work. And if you really need to concentrate, you can just put some headphones on, as I would at home, and put on some music for concentration or music for energy, whatever I happen to need. So that's worked well. Also, it gives me an opportunity to walk into town and back. So I've had the kind of guarantee of exercise during the week. And obviously, with the weather being how it's been, that's been really great. And I've been able to listen to lots of podcasts to and from the office space. Productivity's been good. So I had one week where I put together some articles, 6,500 words, and that was all done in the week. So very happy with that. And that's really the reason I took the space, because it was important that I was able just to kind of sit down and focus and really get on. And people are, you know, that I've met at the space, they're the same. You know, when you need to get on with your work, you just get on with it. And people, you know, they're not kind of disturbing you. I'm used to, obviously, in the past working in offices where it is either quite noisy or quite busy. So I'm used to, you know, I do have the ability to work when there's noise and distraction around.
But how has it been in terms of like the psychology of, so obviously when you were working from home, you would never have had to think about who had used the toilet before you.
Okay, things like that.
I mean, how has that been for you?
Yes, well, I've been very careful with using hand gels, washing my hands. So hand gel before I leave the floor to go downstairs, for example, and then after the loo again, you know, wash the hands, gel again. The same with using the kitchen areas. So you just have to be, you know, mindful of that. So I'm not sure that everybody is, you know, so worried about that. I've also brought in sometimes my own, you know, have my sort of own coffee as a preference. For example, I will be meticulous with washing up. You know, I have my own mug and with, you know, things like teaspoons and so on. I'll always just wash it before. I'll wash it straight after. So I'm mindful of other people as well. So for me, that's just how I approach it. I'm not sure everybody's the same, but for me, it's not just about me. It's about other people. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether I'm, you know, in good health or otherwise, you know, it's just, for me, it's just, you know, how I would do it at home. Why would I be any different?
Yeah, it's just because talking to a lot of people, well, since forever, since this whole thing has been going on, for a significant number of people, things like that are actually a real anxiety because, it's without getting into the grim details, sometimes in offices, personal hygiene, shall we say, is not always diligent. I'm quite trying to put this as sensitively as I can. You know, you quite often have somebody in the office who's called poo hands, for example, you know. and so therefore, you know, you don't put out unwrapped sweets or anything like that in a bowl for sharing. But, you know, people have genuinely been anxious about, you know, that sort of thing, that going back to a scenario where they have to share facilities. And I think it's very important for employers to, like, if you're bringing some people back, and again, this comes back to the communication thing. Don't just send them an email on Friday saying, right, you're back in the office from Monday. Think about people. Maybe set up a bit of like an open day, but like timed, scheduled, so that each individual can come in and they can be shown around the office and shown where everything is and how everything will work. Because if we think back to like our first day in school, for example, or if we moved school or went from primary to secondary, that first couple of days where you don't know where anything is and everything's a bit weird and you don't know how everything's laid out and how everything works is always a very anxious time. And I think it would work very well for a lot of people, even if you did it like a virtual walkthrough for people and then posted it on your intranet or whatever. Just, you know, this is what the office is going to look like when you come back. This is how we're doing the physical distancing. This is how we're handling the cleaning regime. You know, this is how we're going to operate, so that people can almost familiarize with themselves with it before they suddenly arrive back into the office. I think would make a massive difference, and not least would demonstrate to employees that your employer thinks about you and cares about you. And it's not just a case of, right, we've made the business COVID secure, you're back in on Monday, turn up, and within a minute you're like full steam ahead at your desk. That there's that opportunity to create a bedding in period. And that's probably particularly vital if you're going to do like a split shift type arrangement, either where, you know, you're going to have some people in some days of the week and then other people in the other days, or whether you're doing half days, like mornings, afternoons, or even days, nights, whatever it might be. Also, particularly, a lot of companies obviously aren't doing hot desking, but if there is any shared materials that you've got to have, like printers and kitchen areas and stuff, just to walk people through, this is how we're going to manage this for all of us.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great idea. I think it's, you know, if, as you say, if someone were joining a company, you know, there would be you'd expect there to be an onboarding process which says, you know, hey, here's your office, here's your desk, here's the layout, here's Fred, here's Joanna, this is the cafeteria, or this is the kitchen area, these are the breakout areas, these are the meeting rooms, blah blah blah. So having something where you can say, look, when you come back, it's going to be different, but here's what it's going to look like. So it's people can visualize it, and I think if you just get it in an email, you might not be able to actually picture. You just think, you just kind of say, oh yeah, that's fine. And then when you get there, it's like, oh, there's all these posters everywhere, there's signs, and there's markers saying every 2 meters, which might come down a bit. But and then it's like, oh, gosh, okay, yeah, it's a real thing.
how difficult, you know, is it realistically? We've all got smartphones with cameras on. In our day-to-day lives, you know, we're putting all sorts of crap on Instagram. How hard is it for a line manager to say, do you know what, I'm going to do a quick, you know, 5-minute walkthrough video just to talk my people through what they can expect to encounter when they come back into the office? I think it's, you know, you don't need to have, you know, great production values or anything. I think just the psychology of it would go a massively long way in terms of easing people's anxiety. And, you know, keep up those conversations with your people about their individual circumstances. And as a line manager, don't be afraid to ask people about what their challenges are. You know, I do know some line managers, like, they're almost afraid to ask, especially female colleagues, you know, what's happening with childcare, in case that colleague feels that it's almost like an accusatory thing. No. Have those open conversations and say to your colleagues, whether they're men or women, you know, how are you managing with childcare? Is there something that we can do to help you? You know, is there some way we can work more flexibly to aid you around that sort of thing? Have those conversations and have a plan for everybody. Don't spring stuff on people. Have a roadmap of how, you know, in over the next weeks or months, you're going to work with that individual so that they know what's going on. And when I mean roadmap, identify when you'll have one-to-one check-ins with that person and all these sorts of things, because we need to look after all of us psychologically now as well. And I think there's a lot that organizations are doing, and I think there's a lot they could do. Thank you both.
Brilliant, thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye. See you
later,
bye.
See you later.
They didn't set limits. Are you a follower or a visionary? Can you handle the load that you were meant to carry? Cause we're on a mission. Listen, it's beyond description. We don't want to fit in if we're living in a contradiction.